You've probably seen plastic water bottles, bags, and straws littering waterways, but there's another source of plastic pollution that's much harder to see: microplastics. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about microplastics and a new way to filter them out of our lives, our University of Cincinnati Research Assistant Professor, LaTanya Jackson. Welcome back, Professor Jackson.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Great to have you. And Cleaner co-founder and CEO, Max Pennington. Thanks for being here, Max.
Thanks for having me.
Professor Jackson, what are microplastics and nanoplastics? I guess those are even smaller than microplastics. And where do they come from?
Well, microplastics are plastics that have either been broken down or purposely made. And the size is what makes a microplastic. So it'll be less than 5 micrometers in size. And a nanoplastic is even smaller. And that'll be around 2.5 micrometers in size. So very, very small. You can possibly see it with the naked eye, but it'd be very hard to see.
You'd have to have better eyes than I have, that's for sure. And where do these microplastics come from?
Well, they're at either a breakdown of bigger plastics, say, like, for instance, your water bottles, and when you throw them away, or they're out in the sun, or they're in the ground, they get broken down through weathering and just normal wear and tear, and they just break down until they get smaller and smaller and smaller until they get down to the size of microplastics or nanoplastics. And also, there are some that are purposely made, but those are usually for things like medical reasons, to get certain medicines in certain places in the body. And at one point, they were in cosmetics, purposely made, for that nice dermal abrasion for the skin, exfoliation. But I think that has since been stopped.
Yeah. How much of these microplastics are in our environment at this point, Professor Jackson?
Oh, that is a hard estimate, but according to the data that I've read, it is possibly 1 to 1,000 microplastics per cubic meter everywhere in the environment.
And Max, I know.
So that means like over trillions.
That sounds like a lot. Max, I know you've studied this. Do we have any idea how much are in our bodies actually?
Yeah, we're starting to. There's been some recent articles coming out, like you have a spoonful of microplastics in your brain. Microplastics have been found in blood. They've been found in the human placenta. It's sort of every single week there's a new article that comes out that's finding microplastics in a different part of the human body. And I think some of the scariest things is we don't actually know exactly what they're doing to us, but I haven't met anybody yet that's comfortable having plastic in their body.
Yeah, I'm not wild about that. Professor Jackson, what do we know about the health risks of microplastics in our body? Are we still kind of figuring that out?
We're still kind of figuring that out. And but some of the, like one of the health risks that I've read in some recent articles has been that they're thinking that they've made a connection with increased cardiovascular issues and microplastics. That connection isn't one that is, like a stamp, like this is because of just microplastics. So we're finding out more and more as the time goes along. So, there are showing some health impacts, but to get that just one-on-one connection that this is just because of microplastics, that's a little bit harder to do.
Sure. Takes a lot more research. Max, your company is focused on the microplastics that are shed when we do laundry. Explain how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think most people don't realize, but actually 60 to 70% of our clothing is made out of plastic or synthetic textiles. So you have nylon, you have polyester, you have dry fit, all things that people sort of realize, but you don't realize that, the dryer lint filter, when you take it out and you scrape off all the lint, that's actually plastic fiber. And even the cotton and the natural fibers, which are a base of cotton, have a ton of different plastic additives sprayed on top of them. So you really don't want any of them going out into the environment and eventually and ultimately ending up back in our bodies. And what's happening is today there's no filter on the washing machine. And basically every time you do your laundry, millions of microplastics are being sent out into the world and breaking down smaller and smaller into nanoplastics and getting back into our food, back into our water and ultimately back into our bodies. So we've developed a filter that can go on any washing machine and stop 90% of microplastics from being sent out into the environment.
Wow, I want to talk to you more about that filter, but how do the microplastics get shed? Is it because the clothes are banging into each other in the washing machine? Is that how it's happening?
Yeah, it's really from just shearing. So like if you ever take a piece of clothing, you look at it like next to a light, you'll see a lot of fiber that's sticking out of it. A lot of dust today is actually, you know, synthetic fiber from clothing. So just like in the dryer, how it gets spun around, it's basically shearing off the different fibers. That's what's being caught in the lint trap. And same thing's happening on the inside of the washing machine.
Wow. We're talking in this recorded interview about microplastics and ways to filter them from our laundry. So Max, how does this filtration system work, the one that you've developed?
Yeah, so really you take the hose that's on your washer or in your wall today and you plug it onto the inlet of our filter. We send you a new hose when you purchase it and you just put it back into the wall and then it's able to remove 90% of microplastics. Really the inspiration and sort of the breakthrough of the technology, we call it the Vortex, but it's inspired off how fish filter. So in order to filter down as small as we are able to, we had to sort of invent a new type of filtration, which is what we call Vortex. But just like a fish's gills, as they're swimming, they create a vortex to keep their gills from clogging. We use the same type of technology to actually keep our filter from clogging and filter down to the level of microplastics that we're able to capture.
So you said fish. I read somewhere, maybe I'm remembering this wrong, that this was inspired by the way manta ray gills specifically filter out pollutants?
Yeah, so there's a number of different filter-feeding fish, like manta rays or basking sharks, and there's a number of other filter-feeding fish, too, that use the sort of gill structure that creates a vortex to keep their gills from clogging as they're feeding. So manta rays is a great example of one of them.
Huh. Professor Jackson, that really is interesting to me because here's an invention inspired by this aquatic creature that has this system for filtering out junk and pollution, and we're using it to filter out pollution that we're creating. I guess it made me wonder, what are we doing to our oceans and what can we learn from how ocean life is dealing with that?
There are over 51 trillion particles of microplastics in the ocean. So let's start with that. And how is the ocean life dealing with that? First of all, it is affecting them. It disrupts their natural processes and it causes physical damage to them. And microplastics are introduced into their food web. And as the gentleman was talking about, you know, with the filter feeders and everything and how they are able to filter that out, it's because it's part of the food web now, and which can reduce their growth and reproductive success and so on. So using nature to being inspired by what nature uses to deal with microplastics, like we know some of those things like that with the filter feeders, how they're able to filter out. And my research is done on fish. So yes, their gills are actually helps to filter out the microplastics from coming into their body as well. I just think that, you know, nature has this already built in. Some ocean creatures already have that built-in system to help to filter that out, although that's not what it was meant for. But yeah, but to have them as an inspiration is a great thing. I mean, they're already doing it right, so why reinvent the wheel, right?
Right. Well, and Professor Jackson, you mentioned it's entering their food web, I imagine for some creatures that can't filter it out or can't filter it all out, that's how it enters our food web, right? I mean, aquatic
exactly.
Creatures that we're eating.
Yeah, it's not just that. It enters our food web, too, by the containers and things that we use. Like, for instance, bottled water is a common thing. And every time you unscrew that cap, microplastics are filtering down into that water. And what do? We unscrew the cap and we drink the water, you know? So, you know, those one and done, like to-go food items where you got the plastic containers and all that is convenient. But each time you open it, you're scraping some of that plastic off in terms of microplastics and ends up in the food. And we're right there eating it with the plastic forks and the plastic spoons and yeah, it's entering our food web through the fish and other oceanic animals that we're eating, but also just through our everyday convenient things that we're using as well.
Yeah. Well, for full disclosure, I would like to state that we did hand Max a plastic water bottle for use during this interview, and he has not even cracked it open. So
I have not.
He is walking the walk here when it comes to microplastics. Well done. Max, what do you think? I mean, does it mean something special to you that this technology is based on these creatures in nature that have kind of figured this out?
It does. I think nature is, the world's best engineer with millions of years of evolution on, solving problems like filtration, and to learn from them and improve on them so that it, ends up in a product that now we're rolling out to market, I think is really beautiful in a way where we can actually see the impact, and it's inspired by nature, for nature. And I think the other interesting thing is just the shift recently in microplastics from all environmental to also very much a human health concern. Where nature's helping us too.
Yeah. Max, talk to us about this, going to market with this. I understand that you've got some of these installed at Case Western University. Is that where you also went to school?
Yes.
There you go. All kinds of success story going on there. Talk to us about that process, how many you've got installed, and is that sort of a pilot program almost for this technology?
Yeah, so we have a university rollout strategy where we really believe there's a lot of washing that's going on university campuses.
Are all the parents hope so?
Yeah. And so one of the statistics that we did is for every 100 filters that we install on a university campus throughout the course of a year, we'll remove 5,600 credit cards worth of microplastic throughout the year. So we think it's a really straightforward step that universities can take to join in the fight against microplastics pollution. And we've actually started installing at Case Western Reserve University, the University of Akron, and the University of South Alabama. And we're really looking to just continue expanding to additional universities.
Wow. And is that how you're going to start with this technology, start with universities before somebody can buy it for their house? Or how is that going to work?
So that's one rollout strategy that we're doing. It's also available on our website, which is www.cleaner.life. And then cleaner without the E, of course.
Yeah, without the second E.
Yeah, so yeah. C-L-E-A-N-R.
Gotcha.
So it's available on our website today that you could purchase it and install it in your home. I'm from Cincinnati. I grew up in Madeira, so I was actually just at my parents' house. They have a filter installed. A number of the other co-founders' parents have filters. So they've had theirs for 4 or 5 months. But yeah, we actually just had our launch event in Cleveland, and it's now officially available to buy on the Cleaner website.
So what's your parents' experience been like? Because I'm sure your parents love you, but I'm sure they're also brutally honest if you put something on the washing machine and it's messing with how it works. So what have you heard? What kind of feedback have you heard?
It's been good. So we've done a number of iterations where if we installed some of the earlier iterations, I know my mom would have called me and said, hey, we got to get this thing off of our washing machine. But we've been really fortunate to work with most of the washing machine manufacturers where we've tested it in their labs. We've gone through the protocols. And there's really nothing harder than a university setting with all the students. I mean, at Case, it was a couple, 20, 30, 40 loads a day that are going through the filters. So that to us was a beautiful stress test to actually put through the filter. And my parents, it's been going really well. They have a cat, they have a dog. So sometimes they'll see the hair that they catch. They'll see they bought a new polyester blanket. They saw all the fiber that came out of it. And we actually did a thing where they sent us one of their pods back to our lab. So the actual filter that you dispose of, and we took microscope images of it and sent it to them so they could actually see the microplastics that they caught. So I think they're really excited about that. And we actually have an app, so it all connects and it's smart enabled. And we estimate the number of basically credit cards worth of microplastics that you removed personally from using the filter over time. So they've really liked that feature too.
Oh, cool. Professor Jackson, what else are you hearing that's out there in terms of technology? I thought I'd read that there's some maybe other products like this that you can put in a little ball you can put in the washing machine, a bag, or what other technologies are you hearing about that people can use to help reduce their microplastics?
Well, on my side of the fence here, it's not just about the technologies, but also just kind of removing or switching out what people are using so that they are not exposed to as many microplastics. For instance, instead of using plastic kitchenwares, start replacing those things out. Instead of the plastic mixing bowl, maybe use a glass or a metal mixing bowls. Switch out the spoons switch out instead of the nice little plastic bags that we like to Ziploc everything in. There are reusable ones now that are not made from plastics that are out there. And also just, you know, using reusable packaging. So when we go to the stores, you know, right now it's very common to find some of the reusable bags. Then a lot of them, you don't have to just get those that all, some of them have plastics in them. So why use those, right? But there are some that are made of natural fibers like cotton and wool and linens that you can use instead. So like choosing the natural fibers or natural materials and the things that you use, switching those things out. So that's kind of where I am on the on that end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just basically keeping it simple and just switching out what you're using to reduce your exposures to it and reduce the amount of microplastics that are going out into the environment.
That makes sense. Max, what other kinds of technologies are you kind of, I guess, competing with this filter? Because I don't see a lot of stuff available out there, honestly. And I'm, you know, I do my laundry, but I haven't seen commercials or ads for, hey, put this in your machine or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really an up-and-coming sort of technology. There's a few other filters in different geographies that are able to capture microplastics. They have different, I would say, unique disadvantages compared to our technology, but obviously won't name names.
Sure.
But yeah, I think to my knowledge, it's going to be the most effective, easiest to use filter that's going to roll out here first in the United States, which we're super excited about. And I think the interesting thing is our vision is really to start with the external filter. So the one that it can go on top of your machine, it can go next to your machine, it can go on the floor. But really our goal and our strategy is to get the technology integrated into the washing machine so that it comes just like the dryer lint filter pre-installed, where it's already a feature that's in your washing machine. And people that support us early on help us, you know, we use that data to push the washing machine manufacturers to actually integrate this technology so it comes as a standard.
How tough is that going to be? Have you already started those conversations
with
manufacturers?
Yeah, we have. And the interesting thing, too, is there's legislation that's been developing. So there's five U.S. states that have introduced legislation that would require microplastic filters to be installed in newly produced washing machines. And then France actually went ahead and passed a bill that would require it. It got a little bit fuzzy, but it's expected that the European Union is going to come out with the bill. So legislators are really starting to pay attention to it, particularly with all of the media attention that microplastics have been getting recently.
Yeah, there certainly has been a lot in the news. Max, are there other things we can change about the way we wash our clothes that can help if we don't have access to one of these filters? I mean, in terms of like temperature and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I think doing less loads of laundry. So if you do like bigger loads, like sometimes I'll split my loads up like into smaller loads. But if you do a bigger, large load, that's better in terms of microplastic shedding. Using cold water is better in terms of microplastic shedding. Those are like the only two real variables other than getting a filter that really help.
I've heard the tip to wash your clothes less frequently, which is a really hard thing for me
to
do as someone who was raised by a woman who took great pride in her laundry and making sure everything was sparkly clean. But that's like, I guess that's something you can do.
Yeah, you can definitely wash less frequently, although difficult, as you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough hill to climb for a lot of us. Professor Jackson, bottom line, how worried should we all be about these microplastics? I mean, you know, Max was just mentioning they've been in the news a lot. We're hearing a lot more about them. We've all got so much to worry about in our lives right now. How worried should we be about these?
We should be extremely worried about that because along with microplastics, they actually do carry things with them. So whenever you're ingesting all these microplastics are getting into our bodies, our foods and everything else, it's not just the plastics that are getting there. Some of them carry viruses along with them. You know, microplastics, most of them are made out of things that come from oil-based products. So we are being exposed to different chemicals that are coming along with these plastics, as well as PFAS and other dangerous things for us. So it's never just the microplastic itself that we are being exposed to whenever we're exposed to microplastics. So we should be extremely worried. the fact that it is in every part of our body, it can pass through the placenta into our developing offspring or embryos. We have no idea what the far-reaching consequences are of this. So we should be extremely worried. We should be doing everything that we can to reduce our exposures to the microplastics. And I want to jump back to one of the things that you had, that you asked about, if you don't have a filter and like your washer, what could people do? Well, microplastics are in our tap water too. So the filters that we use for our tap water help. So some people usually have like whole house filters, and that'll help with that as well. But it's like we have to change how we think about things now, because microplastics exposes us to so much that we have to worry about. And that should be top on our list. One of the top things that we're worried about and being proactive about.
You know, Max, Professor Jackson just mentioned PFAS, and that reminded me that we've had conversations on the show with Greater Cincinnati Water Works, and so many water systems are in the midst of processes to try to remove PFAS from the water. But is it complicated once the water has gone through the washing machine to remove these microplastics? I mean, do we have any hope that maybe Greater Cincinnati Water Works will take care of this for us?
I think the problem is if you don't catch it at the source, they can immediately start breaking down. So as a microplastic that you can catch relatively easily on the back of a washing machine can break down into a nanoplastic. And the other thing is they get diluted by all of the other water that ends up at the wastewater treatment plant, where it's a much harder filtration job to be done, because you have millions of gallons of water versus, you know, 50 gallons of water that come out of your washing machine today. So it's a lot easier of a filtration job to do it at the household level. Which is really, I think, why legislators are paying attention to capturing it at the source, and why it's so critical to really protect the future and, you know, stop microplastics at the source, because otherwise they're just going to get out and break down and keep ending up in our bodies.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with University of Cincinnati Research Assistant Professor LaTanya Jackson and Cleaner co-founder and CEO Max Pennington. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.